Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Dudes and Beer. We should be on episode 168, and that's just mind-blowing to me, you know, to sit back and think about the things we've done as a show to begin with, the stories that we've covered, the stuff that we've talked about, the possibilities that we've mentioned on this show that have come true. And that's, you know, recently somebody asked me, like, you know, you post a lot of stories on Facebook. Like, you post a lot of articles on Facebook on the regs. And I was like, you know, yeah, I do. And most of that is so that the articles do not disappear. Like, if I'm trying to find the article, it's right there. And I've kind of gotten lax on doing the news of the week. But, you know, we're gonna run through a few of these right after we intro our guest here, Mr. Kevin Rosa. How are you doing, buddy?
Fantastic, brother. And yourself, man?
Doing good, doing good. Yeah, we are actually here on show in Boston right now, in Beantown.
Loving
it. We're staying at the oldest operating hotel in America, the oldest continuously operating hotel in America, the Omni Parker House. And it's pretty wild. Like, as I was coming in with my buddy Alan last night from dinner, there was a little tour going on, and they were talking about how, like, Charles Dickens used to stay there, you know, all kinds of stuff. There's, like invitations to, like, Thomas Jefferson's birthday at the hotel that we're staying at.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of stuff. It's just really wild. Right across the street is like the old courthouse.
Yeah. Town hall.
And then right next to that is like the first schoolhouse in America. So it's really cool to be back up here. Like, I lived in Maine for 5 years, and I really do miss a lot of the history that's up here. It's pretty wild. And on that note, let's get into some of the news of the week. Because I posted some wild stories this week on Facebook. The one that's really going to be the focus of the show was the last one that was posted today. And it was like, now the computer that can argue with you. IBM shows off a new software program that can actively engage in debate. And that's from Wired.com. We've got some other crazy headlines. Apple was apparently slapped with a $6.6 million fine in Australia over bricked devices. Good for you, Australia. There's a bear that was forced to ride a skateboard in a Russian circus that recently attacked its handler. Cool video on that on the Facebook group. Apparently, according to a new Gallup poll, satisfaction with the U.S. has reached a 12-year high at 38%. The last highest was 39% in 2005. So that's interesting. The fact that we are apparently more satisfied with the majority of people in the country are satisfied with the direction that the country is taking, economically, everything else. So another one that I found interesting, people's egos get bigger after meditation and yoga, a new study finds. That was an interesting article. The supercomputer can calculate in one second what it would take you 6 billion years to calculate. That's a neat article from livescience.com. There's some wild videos. There's a cool article about how the Kilauea volcano eruption has actually turned Hawaiian shore into just like a wasteland. And that's something that people don't consider. Like, there are reefs there. There's all kinds of stuff that's built up on this rock, you know, and everything else. And now, it's just being utterly demolished. And hopefully, We've contacted a volcanologist to come on the show and talk about all the recent eruptions and talk about all that kind of stuff. She wanted to come on tonight, but was unfortunately busy filming for the Science Channel. So I was like, yeah, that's cool, you know. If that's what you have to do, I perfectly understand. You know, you made a commitment.
I guess that's okay.
Yeah. I guess you should be there, you know. That makes sense. We'll record my show whenever, you know. It's whatever, dude. But seriously, she's supposed to be coming on. She's a connection on LinkedIn, and I've seen some of her work on the Science Channel, stuff like that. That's where I originally was like, ooh, I'd like to have her on the show. Then come to find out, she was like running for Congress, too.
Wow.
It was like, oh, yeah, scientist running for Congress. That's great. There is a newly debunked article that came out from The Guardian. I need to post the response to it from National Geographic. National Geographic has officially announced, y'all, if you were really excited about the fact that fans of Mexico set off an earthquake sensor celebrating the seismic World Cup win. Not the case. There were no seismic sensors set off in Mexico, according to National Geographic, and I'm prone to believe them. Looping back in conversation there and in thought, just the fact that, and you know, the post that I put up with the article about the new IBM computer that can argue with you was, can it debate the necessity of its own existence? Because that is when we're talking sentience. That's when we're talking like, this is a thinking computer.
Right.
And definitely with the speed of computing and supercomputing capabilities, even in like blade technology for servers and that kind of stuff. I mean, if you start tying together a bunch of video cards in an array, you'd be surprised what you can do. Like, I remember when the PlayStation 2 came out, the U.S. Air Force had actively tied together like 1,000 of them.
Oh, wow.
In an array to be able to process like full 3D renderings of nuclear blasts.
Sheesh.
And like, you know, model that kind of stuff. So, and we work these technology conferences all the time. I want to say, but were you on the NVIDIA gig in San Diego?
NVIDIA.
Or San Jose. San Jose.
No, I was on NVIDIA, I think, the year before. I wasn't on last year in here in San Jose.
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah, you were on it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, you're right. Yeah. San Jose. Yeah. You're right. I was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just to see some of the technology that's there and to hear where they're going in the field of AI.
Oh, no, it's
with
insane.
Video technology, with you know, video processors and video cards and stuff like that. They process data in a different way. They process it in a much more fractal way because that's what they were originally doing. Like if you look at video graphics and stuff like that, that's what trees and walls and rocks and everything else, like that's what they finally realized was that they could use Mandelbrot sets, things that infinitely repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. If you look at the form of a tree, like a perfect example is a pine tree. Mm. It's a replication of a replication of a replication of a, like it is a fractal.
Right.
And you know, once you start using fractals to generate natural fractals, like it was just amazing how fast technology started coming around in the world of video gaming. And are you a gamer yourself?
Used to be, haven't played in, like, since old original Call of Duty days type of deal, but I play here and there.
Yeah, and I'm about the same way. I never got into the first person. I guess
first person shooters.
I enjoyed first person shooters, but I enjoyed first person shooters like Wolfenstein.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, Doom,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I was into.
Yeah, I got kind of hooked when they first came out, called, like, it's Call of Duty, and to the point where it'd be, I'm playing with a few buddies of mine, and the game is more, hey, whose wife comes and gets them off, them off before, hey, gotta go.
It's been 5 hours.
Yeah, now. Exactly. 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I see a shadow in the room. It's like, okay, guys, I gotta go. Sorry.
The shadow is really large, which means she's very close to me.
The shadow's breathing down my neck, so I gotta go.
Well, and it's interesting. One of the concepts. Have you ever watched the show *Halt and Catch Fire*?
No.
Check it out. It was by A&E. It's already wrapped. It's finished. So all the episodes are available. I want to say on Hulu. You can check it out. But very revelatory as far as the way a lot of technology is developed. The way a lot of industries worked in the 80s, it was really the story of like the Silicon Prairie, you know, the old Texas Instruments days, and the moving forward in technology from that point to the computers that we have now and the founding of the internet and browsers and all that kind of stuff. It was interesting to see that twist on things. But one of the first things that they discussed as they were building a computer, and it was pretty obvious that they were like supposed to be basically like Dell, you know, or Compaq. I think it was Compaq actually, because they were the first ones to come out with something other than an IBM,
right?
You know, where it wasn't like, here's your stuff with the proprietary software. You know, it was like, here's your stuff that you can go out and put your own parts in and do your own thing and all that kind of stuff. They really kind of forefronted the PC experience that we have today. And there's a concept called the cooling threshold.
Okay.
Where if it takes longer than a 30th of a second between click and response in a system, your brain starts tuning out. And that's the goal of all systems, is to meet that 30th of a second requirement. That whenever you can, because think about it, like whenever you're editing on a system, imagine if you were to go back and edit the audio that you edit today as an engineer on a machine from 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
You'd need some meds, bro.
Right.
Like there'd be some microphones being thrown around a studio. You know, no, all absolutely. Kinds of stuff, because the click and response wouldn't be there. The speed of response to the program.
We've turned into a very quick people just in general. You know.
We want
that quick response.
Yeah.
You get accustomed to it. And that's it. You know.
Well, and that's precisely it. One of the things that my wife and I have talked about, and I'd love to have you on a Dad's and Beer before we leave.
Yeah.
Also. But one of the things my wife and I have talked about with our son, number one, we were very insistent when he was born just about a year ago. He's just over a year old now by almost a month, or just over a month.
Happy belated birthday to him.
You hear that, Dalbus? He has no idea. My wife keeps worrying, like the other day she came home and we were watching the end of The Omen. It was nap time. He was asleep. He woke up. There was 15 minutes left. I'm not going to not finish The Omen.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious to me that, like, the horror choir starts. Like, you know, devil head. And he starts, like, dancing.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm like,
dude, I got to check the back of this boy's head. Like, make sure. But it was just so hilarious,
oh,
man.
That is
he was
funny,
like
man.
Laughing, like the dog's going after the guy, and he's like,
yeah,
just cracking up. And I'm like, oh my god. My wife's like, that's horrible. I'm like, he's 1 year old. I challenge you to find me anybody other than maybe Einstein that says they remember 1 year old.
Yeah. My dad may.
Yeah.
My dad has a ridiculous memory. It's seriously crazy. Like, he can tell you, like, I was in the fifth grade. My teacher was this. I remember because I was wearing this and this. I'm like, are you serious?
Oh, no. Like, I have vivid memories.
I mean,
back
I do
to
too.
Third grade, smooth.
I do too, but it's just like his, it's just, It's insane. Like, he can, like, his is very, very precise. But.
Yeah, and I mean, the issue is, and I got kind of derailed with the Damien thing there, but my wife, our baby has slept in his own room since he was like 3 days old, literally. At 3 days, I had a gig and I went to go get ready and I was like, I cannot get past the crib without waking him up.
Mm-hmm.
I love him, but he's got to go.
Right.
Like, I've purchased a monitor.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll have a tablet next to the bed.
Yep.
With it on 24/7.
We used to call it the baby stalker, my wife and I.
Yeah, it's my creeper peeper.
Yeah, creeper peeper. I love it. That's awesome. Creeper peeper.
Oh, used to be when he was really young and he would sleep really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
My wife would actually do some work in the office while he was sleeping and stuff like that. And while I was on the road, I'd like move the camera over and like turn the microphone on and be like, say, girl, what you doing? just utterly creep her out, like have it come over the speaker.
The two-way was awesome. I remember that, yeah.
But now it's cool because, like, yeah, occasionally whenever he's, you know, being gotten up from his nap, I can, like, tune in and hit the microphone and, hey, guys.
Yeah.
We can have a little two-way thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, but.
Technology, man.
Yeah, yeah. And the one thing that I think we really instilled in him was, A, you need your own space.
Mm-hmm.
And you need time by yourself. Like, he's kind of figured out the fact that, because he creeper peepers. Like, that's what he does most of the time. Whenever we put him in for his hour, hour and a half nap, he probably sleeps for about 40 minutes. And then the rest of the time, he quietly just sits there and looks out the window. Like, moves the curtain over. Just sits there and, like, watches the dude next door working on cars.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just watches the neighborhood shit go on. But he's figured out the fact that I'm going to be in here for this long.
Right.
And I may as well just be quiet.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's great because we've built in a sense of boredom to him. You know, and that's where a lot of creativity happens. That's where a lot of, like, brainstorming happens, is in those times of boredom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge issue in our society right now that I want to try and tackle with my son. Because, like, sure, I don't mind getting him a tablet when he's, like, 2 years old, but it's not going to have Angry Birds on it. It's not going to have games like that.
No.
If it's not something that, like, teaches him music, Or is, like, a circuit program where you connect things and mm-hmm. it does stuff, where he can learn and it builds his brain and builds problem-solving skills, done. Sorry. Not a game that's happening.
Yeah. So my son, he's 7. He just turned 7 last month. And we bought him an iPad last year for his 6th birthday. But he didn't even ask for it or whatever, but because like, he's... I've got an old PS3 and an Xbox 360.
Sweet.
I'm still at the house. I haven't gone to the PS4 because I don't even have time to play anymore. His creativity is phenomenal from mm-hmm. day one, but we haven't given him any electronics. We gave him Legos. He just recently started getting into Legos because he's a little older now.
Sure.
But we had given him, he's got like all these superhero toys. And I would mm-hmm. just love, I would stay in the living room and like you said, leave him to, let him be. Of course, I'm going to go play with him. Yeah. Especially if he asked me, no questions asked. Especially since we travel, you know, I try to spend as much time with him as possible.
Yeah.
But just to hear him create scenarios and all this stuff, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm just sitting listening to him, and then I see a couple of his friends will come over and they get bored really quick because they've been glued to the gaming system.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know what, I'm not
their putting fingers them out. Are moving while they're talking.
Exactly. And they like they'll go play with him with his toys for like about an hour. Hey, can we go do something else? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, man, he'll be there by himself for like hours.
Yeah.
You know, and then if he realizes, like, oh, wait, Dad's here. Hey, Dad, can you play with... Yeah, okay. And then I go over there, and then it's like, okay. And then forget it. Then it just becomes, you know, the whole room becomes alive because everything is this and this and that. So it's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I've instilled that in Dalvis most definitely. Here recently, my big thing to find for him is just like the solid PVC, like Marvel and DC characters.
Yeah.
You know, just like the ones that you go out and buy for like $5 at the comic book shop to like have on your desk and work, that kind of stuff. But there are no moving parts. It's so big that you can't swallow it.
Right.
You know, there's nothing tiny. It's just solid molded.
Yep.
So, but even he plays around with the two of them. Like, he's recently learned to push his cars.
That's
awesome. They make a sound.
Yeah. It's like, wait, hold on.
And yeah, like, now we kind of see him every once in a while on the floor moving his cars and like, like
that's making the sound with that. Stuff. That's awesome.
It's like,
that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we've taught him by the age of one to occupy himself, you know, and I think it's such an important thing. I remember my family used to talk about me. I was like, yeah, man, you could give Chris the backyard and a stick. And he didn't need a friend.
Yeah.
Like you.
My son would play, like, when we would get him a toy, he would go and want to keep the box for, like, months. I mean, and it was just like, oh, we're going to throw that. No, because I need that.
Yeah.
Why do you need it? Because I'm going to make this with it.
Yeah.
And so, like, next thing you know, I'm like, okay, cool. He wants to make things.
Yep.
Give him some, you know, some scissors that are, you know, appropriate for his age and tape or whatever. Next thing you know, he's making, and he's my only child.
Mm-hmm.
I buy him whatever he wants. He's a fantastic kid, not because he's mine, but he's just very well-mannered. Whatever he wants. I mean, he doesn't even ask for anything, so he's got tons of toys. But he'll take cardboard boxes. He's got, like, the Superman, like, the Fortress of Solitude, and he's got the Justice League and this and all this stuff. But he'll make boxes. He's like, okay, so this is the new Fortress of Solitude. I'm like, yeah. Heck yeah. So we next thing you know, he'll go over. We'll let my aunt will watch him for us, and he'll come back when we go to pick him up. He's coming home. He's got like four more cardboard boxes from my aunt because she just keeps, you know, she'll do stuff with him at the house. And
yeah, my stuff was I had to know how things worked.
Tinker. So, I had to tinker with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I built stuff, it didn't work. Like, now I build stuff and it works.
It's right. Great.
Like, I designed circuits and shit.
But you got there because you designed stuff.
Because I disassembled enough stuff and tried to reassemble it and was unsuccessful that eventually I learned to reassemble it. But, yeah, like, whenever people would have broken hair dryers or phones, they'd always, like, just, like, keep it in a box until they saw me, you know. It was like, if you wanted to give me a birthday present, like, you could do no better than to give me a box of junk to take apart.
It's like, yeah, give me a bunch of broken stuff.
Like, oh.
Yeah, a bunch of broken shit. Look at this. This is, like, awesome.
Bells and hammers and electromagnets. And, yeah, you know, it's like, you just basically gave me a box of parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it was like, sweet. That was like days of taking stuff apart and having fun and exploring and, you know, patching stuff together. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember my dad had bought me one of those the Radio Shack kits, the little circuitry strings, board and stuff like that, and you used to be able to make your own circuit. Like,
yeah, the 110 experiments.
Yes. Awesome.
Those things rocked, man. Build a little crystal radio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still want to build a theremin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I make optical theremins.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you have some basic soldering skills, it's actually extraordinarily easy.
I've heard. I just haven't had time to do it, but I definitely want to make one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 8 parts.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
not even lying. Wish I was lying. I'm not. It's like 8-9 parts. Values make different ranges and stuff like that, so... but yeah, it's not extraordinarily difficult.
You would love this place out where I live. So in Winter Park, Florida, there's a place called Skycraft. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Mm-mm.
It literally has a small, like a looks like a rocket out in front of it and painted red, white, and blue. It is tons of junk. Just like the Home Depot of old stuff. So if you got anything broken or whatever, you're looking for parts. If this place doesn't have it, you're not going to find it in the world.
That's
it.
You know, there's a place in Houston. They apparently have two locations, but it's called Electronics Parts Outlet, EPO.
Okay. Yep.
and it is like a tinkerer's paradise,
yeah.
As far as electronics go. If you were looking for motors, actuator, like if you're trying to build a battle bot,
they got it all. That's like our Skycraft, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like you go in the back and they got like old server machines and like tape reel, you know, like data drives and stuff like that. It's just, it's friggin' incredible. It's great.
That's awesome.
And I love places like that because I go in and it just gets my juices flowing. It makes me think about new projects that I want to build. And I hope I pass that on to Dalvis. I really do. Because I think it's missing all too much. I don't know. I guess I create in some modern means through like web design and stuff like that. And that's pretty cool. But I don't know. Yeah, I think our more than rapid growth, but really more our rapid desire as a society to have immediacy on everything doesn't really give us the time to consider all possible outcomes. You know, I mean, just looking at the Facebook shit that's happened recently and that kind of stuff, you know, it's like you knew what you were doing.
Right.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
Right.
You knew damn good and well that nobody was reading a 100-page EULA, you know, end user licensing agreement. Nobody was reading all that. You knew that. You were selling people's personal information, you know, and then to have, half the people on the panel that were questioning him literally have taken money from him for their campaigns, so that was funny. But then most of the people that were questioning him had no idea how the internet worked. No, like, you're on a panel to regulate the internet, and you literally have no idea how the internet works. You have no idea what, like, IPs are, what EULAs are, what half this shit is. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
That's freaking crazy.
You know, but it's interesting to look at that didactic because most of those people are 50 plus. They're 55 and up.
Right.
That don't understand it, you know. Like my mom, God bless her, right after Christmas, somebody contacted her and said that there was a problem with her what was it? Not Yahoo. Oh, yeah. No, it was Yahoo. Something was wrong with your Yahoo account, and it was locked, and they needed $150 to be able to unlock it. And I was like, no. Okay. Here we go.
Did you pay it, or hopefully not?
But then started thinking about it. I was like, this just didn't seem right, and called her bank and canceled it and called me. And I was like, thank you for calling me. Like, Yahoo will never contact you.
Right. Right.
It's not how that works. When your Gmail
none of them will. You know, nothing's – they're never going to ask
you. Your bank's never going to call you and ask you for your account information, right. Folks.
Exactly.
That's
100% correct. Right.
And on that note, with all the recent phone scams going on that I saw from friends and everything, I've gotten them to the Department of the Treasury.
Oh yes,
is not filing a case against you.
Those are my favorite. I actually had one recently.
And it's the Department of Treasury. Number one, it's the Department of the Treasury, not Department of Treasury.
Yes.
I don't care if you're a robot voice. Somebody typed that.
Right. Exactly. They're not using Grammarly. They're not using something, you know, these things.
They're not using, like, English grammar.
Yeah. I remember one, I was watching a video on either Facebook, YouTube, or one, and they had this guy there's plenty of people out there that just punk him back.
Yeah.
And he's being recorded.
Just waste their time.
And yeah. He's like, he said, the way I look at it is if I can burn 20 minutes of their time or 30 minutes of their time, and I'm
that's
having
five
and I'm,
people they're not
yes,
scamming
and I'm enjoying it, you know, and one guy's like, oh, we're gonna send the cops who's going to say the cops are going to come after you, not the law enforcement or police, you know, or whatever.
Or, you know, actually name your local law enforcement.
Exactly. It's like, okay, you're going to tell
me. Austin Police Department is going to be called to come knock on your door.
When you're calling me from.
Knock warrant.
Yeah. It's, oh, man, it's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome,
like, I would probably destroy at that because I know the lingo. And yeah, but I just can't go to the dark side, man. I can't use my powers for evil.
No. I'm just going to try to take as many out as I can of the bad guys.
Yeah. No, just run into the middle with your knowledge bomb. And
yeah, just boom.
That's awesome. It's a suicide knowledge bomb. That's what it is. I'm willing to give myself so that other people can realize the truth and understand.
Yeah, I get constant calls from my dad all the time. I'm kind of his my dad, bless his heart. He just turned 70 this year, too.
Are you his tech?
I'm his tech.
I'll
get the call, and it's like, hey, Kev. So I just got a new laptop, and I'm like, okay, you know. So go ahead and tell me, or you know, whatever it is, and usually it's his email. So I got an email on this, just forward it to me. I've got him to now to the point where if he sees anything questionable, he just forwards it to me. Yeah. So that way I'll take a look at it. My wife the other day, same type of deal. So she had it's just to make it easier for yourself. And my wife the other day got something. She says, oh, I got an email from Apple that there was an issue with my Apple ID, this to contact them. I said, okay, forward it to me. And the first thing I did is I just hovered over the email to see what the extension was.
Yeah.
And it was like Apple at ABCD, whatever, something, yada, yada, we're trying to take your money.com, you know? And it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
And what I did is when I hovered over, I took a screenshot. I sent it to my wife, and I'm like, hey, listen, first thing to ever do is just look. I mean, don't open it, but look and see who the sender
hover
is.
Hover over it and see what the link
goes to. And if it's something, you know, that looks funky.
Apple.com.
Exactly. Something, if it doesn't look professional, you know, it's. And even the ones that look professional, sometimes they'll be like, you know, it'll be like apple@gmail.com, and they're not really thinking, oh, well, Gmail's legit. You know, well, it's going to be at Apple or at, you know, whatever company that you're dealing with.
They have their own, bless you.
Thank you.
They have their own servers.
Correct.
You know?
Exactly. So.
And, you know, you really do have to be present of mind with that kind of stuff because technology now is so quick. It's so easy. That's one reason why, like, I absolutely refuse to have, like, Android Pay on my phone to use any kind of, like, wireless payment with my phone device. Because, I mean, you can say, oh, my Apple phone, like, has fingerprint scanning. Great. Like, it was shown you could put your fingerprint scanner up to a nipple and it'll open.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
like,
just,
there was a 5-year-old that, like, hacked his mom's Apple security on her iPhone 10. Like a week or so after they came out.
Yep.
He was like, it was either 5 or 8, but he was definitely under 10. So it's like, that's your security. An under 10-year-old just broke it.
And that's when Apple needs to be like, hey, you want a job? I know you're only 8 or 10, but.
Yeah, hey.
You're going places there, buddy.
Well, and, you know, they're a company that to me, especially with stuff, I don't know. I was telling you the other day, I need to buy a Mac. It's an unfortunate realization in our professional environment.
Correct.
However, it's just one of those, like, I can't buy into Mac.
Oh, no.
Like, I can't buy into a phone that I can't change the amount of memory on it. You know, like where I can't put an SD card in. And
hence the reason why I do not want one of the new ones of the of the MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole thing was, okay, so they come out with the latest and greatest, the newest. Okay, cool. This is your MacBook Pro. Why have you taken every, you know, jack out of it and just given me one USB-C?
Yep.
And now I have to buy a $100 dongle in order to get every one of my peripherals out, you know, or otherwise I have to carry, you know, I'm like, this is your pro machine. I understand for the regular MacBook or the MacBook Air. This is for the rest of the world. This is your pro machine. This is what people use in industries in a pro environment. Yeah. So why do you tie my hands?
Give me another point of failure.
Exactly.
In line.
Exactly. Another point. Correct. Rather than something being, you know, added to the, you know, part of the machine, now I have to add on to the machine to get everything I want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, I think it's, they have gone in reverse. Now, I am still an Apple guy. I still love
the platform.
My platform and stuff like that. When I initially bought my first Mac, my buddy was telling me, oh, you got to go Mac, this and that. And he went hop between both PC and Mac because of work, but he's like, you got to get a Mac. It's so simple. I went out and bought the biggest, baddest MacBook Pro at the time, paid about $3,500. This is about almost 10, 11 years ago. Bought it. And that night, I called him up because I'm like, dude, you need to come by my place because I'm about to throw it out the window. Where's my start button?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a changing over platform, not knowing anything. Okay, hang on. I'll be there in a minute. And so it was obviously a learning curve, but I do like the interface. Mm-hmm. The platform. I do like the way they flow.
Yeah, they're GUI and the way that a lot of things flow and everything else.
And I've never had any issues, and I know that there's viruses for Macs, but I've never had any issues.
No, and it's one of those, like I was telling you about the app thing, the app issue that I had.
Correct.
And I was like, you know, this is why you comprise 20% of the app market. And they only comprise 20 to 30% of the desktop and laptop market. So if you're a coder who's writing viruses, why would you write something that focuses on 20, 30% of the market? That does not behoove you.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not that they're more virus-proof.
Of course not. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a huge misconception.
Exactly. And a lot of people say, there's no viruses for Mac. Yeah, they're out there.
They're out there.
Exactly.
And they're nasty when they happen.
Exactly.
They'll pinwheel you all day long. But it's just most people aren't focusing on them because they don't comprise the majority of the market.
Right.
I'm not a big Mac guy because I like tinkering.
And that's another thing that they've done especially on the newer models.
They don't have towers anymore. It's all trash cans.
Trash cans. Yep. I mean, I'll never forget when that came out. I'm like, really? That's the new one? Okay. Yeah. You might as well call it the trash can, because that's what it looks like.
Yep.
You know, and of course you're taking away all the be able to touch anything and change anything. You can't even change out the memory.
Nope.
Excuse me. Like you can't even change out the RAM in it because of everything is soldered down on the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is soldered down.
Yep. And everything is hardwired into it.
I'm like, really? This is a 2012. And I upgraded the hard drive to a solid state, and I upgraded my RAM to 16 gigs, and it's great. It works fantastic now. And that was my compromise, because I was like, I don't want a new one. And I'm like, it's just, I feel as if the innovation died with the innovator.
Somewhat,
you know,
as far as the devices and things.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, because no new iPhone. Give me the iPhone 10. Okay, I've always been an iPhone guy, whatever, since they came out, and I just feel like nothing has really wowed me, super wowed me. Like, okay, wow, since he has passed. And granted, like you said, I mean, it's not everything, but like somewhat it's died down.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's just. The whole thing with one of the articles that you were talking about, the whole them getting sued for the bricking.
For throttle and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't understand the concept. Like I know people that are like, oh, I'm not worried about it because I lease my phone. Number one, why the hell are you leasing a phone?
Really? I know, yeah. It's
like, granted, I'm technically like leasing my phone until I pay it off, then it's my phone.
Correct.
But most people go out and trade their phone in before they pay it off.
Exactly.
And get the new one, and then they're just stuck in this cycle. And the problem is, you've leased it. And my comparison has always been, imagine that you're leasing a car from Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
The new model comes out next year. All right? And it's in your lease that every 2 years, you at least have to be two models up. You know, you at least have to upgrade every other model that comes out. So, you know, 2 years comes around, you got to go out and get a new Toyota, or your Toyota that you're driving goes 15 miles per hour slower.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool. Yeah.
And the gas mileage isn't as good. You start losing two miles per gallon in gas.
Right, and it's the same car.
Couple more, because I'm just saying this I've had my car. I've had my Toyota for 7 years now, almost. And, yeah, imagine if in that seven-year time span, in that lease configuration, by that point I would have lost 45 miles in speed.
Absolutely.
I would have been throttled down to, you know, my speedometer goes to 120, so I'd have been throttled down to maximum of 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
And, you know, and that's basically what they're doing.
Yeah.
If they're giving devices less speed, less this, less that. And they don't tell you that if you go in and change your iPhone battery 6 months before that update, you won't be throttled down. Because it's partially your battery memory and shit like that. Like all your updates and everything else are updating the memory and
that's
the battery too.
That's correct, yeah.
And that's why, like, you know, after a couple new iPhones come out, why suddenly your battery that used to last you like 22 hours is now lasting you like 11. You charge it fully and it just like juices, you know. And it's programmed into
it. Oh, no, yeah. Well, it was...
People have called me conspiracy theorists for saying it for years. Like, 6 years I've said they've done this shit.
Yeah, well, my wife had...
It's come out.
My wife had a 5C, and I had a 6. And her 5C finally was on the brink of going out. So I went and I got her... I actually got a 7, which I really just wanted another 6 because of the whole headphone jack thing that still bothers me.
I can't. I'm not going to buy an adapter to be able to plug in something I should just be able to plug in.
Bothers me to high hell. But anyways, I knew I had that feeling. I was like, okay, if I buy another 6, so then my wife and I are both on a 6 or a 6 because I just wanted the plus version rather than, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, if I get a 6 and my wife has a 6, I have a feeling that something's going to happen very soon and both of our things are just going to be jacked up. So let me get a 7. So I got the 7 plus, and I gave her my 6 because her thing was actually her phone was still okay, but it was only a 16 gig, and she takes tons of videos and her pictures never takes it off. So I gave her my 128 6. So I wiped my phone clear, did the latest update, gave it to her, loaded her everything onto it.
Yep.
Everything was good. iOS 11 or whatever comes out, and not even a day later, her phone, which was my old phone, which worked perfectly fine when she did the update, what happened? The phone went to 20% in less than an hour.
Yeah.
I contact Apple, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, that was the update. And Apple knows that it was our fault. So what we're going to do is
we'll give you 20% off an equivalent item.
They'll go and rather than charging you $80 for the new battery, we'll charge you $35. I'm like, why are you charging me anything? This is your guys' fault, not mine. Why am I being punished for an update that you're OS X
necessary for the device to operate.
Right, and it tells me every day, oh, you have to update every day, I have to update at least 2-3 times a day. And if you accidentally say, well, put it for later, and if you accidentally tap a button, it's going to automatically do it while you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, this is, I'll never forget when that happened. I was just frustrated. I'm like, okay, Apple.
Yeah.
I was this close to just switching over to the dark side. Is this it?
Yeah. And that's why I can't be an orchard dweller. That's why I can't live in the orchard with everybody.
I don't blame you either.
Because I can't abide by that kind of stuff.
Like, yeah.
My phone operates the same way until they change whatever kind of G network exists.
Right, correct.
You know?
Yours is just network based. Issues with the network, not because of the phone.
It's great. That's... Yeah, and I just said, like, it drives my buddy crazy that anytime he gets near, he's like, you know, I have different shit on my computer on iTunes than I have on my phone on iTunes for a reason. Mm-hmm. He's like, I listen to my podcasts on my phone. I don't listen to them on my freaking computer.
Yeah.
And I don't want my music on my phone. He's like, but anytime I get close to the two of them being close to each other, they want to fucking sync and start sharing shit and moving things from place to place. And, like, you remember the whole debacle that happened with the Apple Music whenever it first launched?
No.
Oh, man, it was horrifying. It was horrible. Like, people were leaving Apple Music in droves because they were originally, like, forced to go into it from iTunes.
Right.
Like, you had to use it.
Right.
But there were artists where it was literally taking their high-definition FLAC files of their music and shit like that, their high-def exports, and converting it down.
To MP3.
To 192 MP3.
Wow.
And shoving it into their iTunes.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So now it's in the cloud. You can't actually download it and have a copy of your own shit because it automatically took it from your computer and put it on there and then got rid of the one on your computer so it would save space. Because it's in the cloud where you want it, right?
Wow. And this was all done without...
original music. People's original music.
I did not know about that.
Original compositions. Oh, man.
That's
terrible.
People
went ballistic.
Hell yeah.
Ballistic, like... I was getting ready to, like, send my album off to have it mastered, and now all my shit has been taken off my computer, and it's in 192 format in a cloud, and I can't download it. You're telling me that, like, I don't own my own music.
Wow.
Is it, like, a track that I went on to, like, Amazon and purchased, or went on to iTunes and purchased?
All right, this is mine.
I created.
Wow.
And that I think is the caveat that we have to have as a society, is that we want this instantaneous world. We want the convenience of cloud. I can utterly see, especially as an editor, the convenience mm-hmm. of cloud, the convenience of being able to have all my templates on my editing computer at home, and they're in a cloud. I can pull them onto any computer I'm working on, you know? And that's cool, but I don't know. I think it leads to a point of laziness. I think it leads to a point of getting out of the habit of hard backup.
Oh, yeah.
And dependency on such things where, yeah, what happens when it's part of the cloud and you can't get it? What then?
Yep.
What happens if you show up on show site and there is no internet?
Exactly.
The cloud is dead to you
now. Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell.
Well, that was like when Prezi first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Everyone's like, "Oh, I got Prezi. Great. Do we have a hard line? Do we have any wireless or whatever? Anything?
You think
Nothing?
Things get slow running it off a friggin' thumb drive? Try running it off the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And
hotel internet.
I can't tell you the number of times I have saved a show because I have an Android phone because somebody the client did not pay for internet. They come in, yeah, you know, can my secretary just email you my presentation? Not really. But I tell you what, if they can Dropbox it to me, you know, because, like, a lot of the times it's proprietary stuff.
Right.
But if they want to give me, like, a one-use Dropbox link, I can download it to my phone, plug my phone into the computer as a thumb drive,
right,
and drag and drop your presentation. And if I had an iPhone, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't treat it like a huge thumb drive.
Well, the thing that you can do nowadays that they did
is
the USB jack. Well, the AirDrop.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've worked with
their own version of Dropbox,
yeah,
basically.
So
it allows you to download.
But it still takes, you know, yeah. I mean, there's I don't know. It's... Well, the one thing I do like is everything works fluidly. yeah. between the devices.
Yes, no.
And in my,
amongst their own stuff.
My house is an Apple house. I have an Apple tree.
They don't like talking
to other things.
To other devices.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct on that.
And other devices don't like talking to them.
Correct. You got your apples and oranges.
With that. And that's why I said, that's why I call you Orchard Dweller.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you've got your apple trees.
I got my apple tree in the middle of the house, and I've got my Apple TV over here. I've got my MacBook Pro over here.
And they all sync up perfectly together.
Yeah. You know? Like I said, when they work, it's like all technology, but like you said, you know, it's...
It's a beautiful thing when they're all networked together. Mm-hmm. But I even remember having to come in when I was on broadcast and, like, resync 10 machines and stuff like that to the network and everything else before show and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, oh, God, can't we just buy something? Because, like, we didn't buy Apple Network. If it was all Apple Network stuff, then cool. But the servers... We're an Apple.
Right, they're probably IBM or whatever,
Yeah, like why would we have an Apple network for our servers? Apple networks don't like talking to other things.
Right. No, absolutely.
So it was just this battle, you know. I don't know. They're great machines, but I think it's begun a mentality that is transferred over to the PC world of... proprietary devices, proprietary dongles, having to have external things to connect what you should be able to just plug in.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. And it really led, like I said, to a mentality of laziness, of not backing up information, that kind of stuff, because we expect it to just be there.
Right. And then, like you say, the day it's not, it's like, oh, well, shit, why is this not here? Well... I understand. Yeah, I'm a big fan of. I take my external everywhere I go, and I always back up because I've been burned before. I mean, I've had my Mac crash, or I've had another computer crash, and okay, I've got everything on a backup. Okay, well, I had that time that nothing was backed up, and I lost tons. Actually, I screwed up. I had an external hard drive that I messed up, and I had. A ton of videos of my son when he was a baby and pictures and stuff, and it all went to nothing. And I went to try to get a data recovery, and it was going to cost me like $12,000. And I'm like, I do miss these videos and stuff, but I don't know if I can really pay $12,000 out of pocket right now. No. And that was just the memories of it, so. But kudos to Australia to getting that.
To putting that out there.
And yeah.
The EU has gone against Apple and sued them for tax evasion. You know, good God, I wish we would do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just crazy sauce. All the stuff that goes on within that industry and within just how corporations are allowed to treat people. And just kind of looping all of this back as we wrap up, thinking about machines now that are able to debate, machines that are able to like have conversations with people. About a year or so ago, the first machine passed a Turing test, which if you remember, I don't know if you ever watched Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
The Turing test was devised by Alan Turing, the guy that worked in Bletchley Park and broke the Enigma machine and stuff like that during the Second World War. Great mathematician, one of the best we've ever known. And he basically said the day that a computer can respond as fast as a human and as human as a human to fool us, That's the day that, like, the mark has been passed. And the first computer passed a Turing test where it's like the person was on a wall and there's a microphone and a speaker. And as far as they know, on the other side of the wall is a human being.
Wow.
And they're having a conversation like this.
Oh,
and
man.
For the first time, a computer passed that. And the person utterly thought that they were having a conversation with a human being. So we've gotten to the point of some pretty incredible technology just within our lifetime. And I even heard that definition lately, where technology is anything that did not exist when you were born.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. What a way to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, because... Yeah, like everything that exists now did not exist when I was born, at least not the way it does now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like I still have a Commodore 64 on my mom's.
Yeah,
garage.
Buddy.
You know, I still have an Apple IIe. When it all goes down, I can do my banking. I can dial into those old systems, just pull my landline off and...
That's it.
Jack into the Matrix.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, wrapping it up, what are your thoughts on this kind of stuff? Being a father of children, what do you see for the future? What do you expect for the future? What do you hope for the future for your kids with technology?
Well, I'm scared, to be honest. A portion of me is frightened. Mm-hmm. To see, you know, how fast things have progressed in yeah. you know, in just such little time. And like you said, in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, heck, like we all hold in our hands a George Jetson phone.
We all hold in our hands something that literally has a million times the computing power of what took us to the moon.
Yeah.
Think about that, folks.
It's insane.
The knowledge of all mankind
yeah.
in the palm of your hand.
I remember having to pull up when I'm doing a research paper. I had to pull out the My Encyclopedia Britannica that we used to, you know.
Oh,
and so it's just like, wow. And I mean, it's one of those things that's obviously it's cool. And, you know, obviously we want the best for our children yeah. and hope that everything goes well. But you have I do have that fear in the back of my mind saying, when it does get to that point where it can think faster and do everything, like you said, faster and quicker and can tie in, what's to stop it from not tying into other networks? And all of a sudden, what happens, you know?
What's to stop it from going Matrix and saying, yes. you know,
or Terminator stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Humanity is a flaw.
Right.
Oh, no, I just posted an article the other day. Like, don't forget, folks, this happened like 3 years ago. There is like super intelligent metal, like liquid metal that can provide its own power and move and like follow a maze track and follow its way around. And if you apply an external voltage, it will change shape.
Oh, we got T2 going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Straight up. This came out like 3-4 years ago in China.
That's insane.
It's already developed. Insane. It's here. So all we have to do is be able to like make microprocessors that like, you know, infinitesimal small computers that are on the nanoscale, which are not far off. Like
no.
they're already talking about it. They're already talking about clockwork that can do that kind of stuff for nanobots and everything else. And yeah, how long before we have the gray ooze that just starts
doing
dissolving
yeah.
everything to recreate itself, you know?
Hey, if it happens to walk or move, like I don't know if you obviously you must have seen those robots that they can actually walk and stuff, and it's like,
oh,
well,
yeah.
those things are not that great. So if it walks like that,
oh no,
we're all right.
No, make no mistake, Spot. The Boston Dynamics dog.
Mm, yes.
It goes on sale next year.
Hmm.
It has actively taught itself to open doors. Like, it escaped its own compound at one point. And not only that, but if somebody, and they showed it, like, somebody was trying to stop it from opening the door with, like, a broom handle. And it literally, like, grabbed the broom handle and threw it away and opened the door and walked through it. So that thing knows how to defend itself.
Not, yeah, it's like not only open door, it defended itself. Holy shit.
And it goes out on market next year. You know, this thing was...
It's great. It's great with the kids. It's great with the kids. Don't worry about the pit. Don't worry about the pit bull. The Spot's great with
the
kids.
Dude, in the Florida airport, you can attest to it. They, in the Tampa airport, they got friggin' robots.
Oh, yeah.
They got little robots that are like, you know, hey, yeah, come to me. I'll give you your flight information. And then you go to the little kids center, and there are little robots that, like, have, like, digital
faces. Little faces,
that the
yeah.
kids are, like, talking with, and it's talking back to them. And it's like...
Yeah, they don't talk to that. Don't talk to
that. Oh, no. You stay away from that devil machine, boy. I had you baptized for a reason. Make that choice when you're so young. Oh, let that devil into your brain.
That's right. That's, oh, man, you're funny, dude.
And on that note of fear and technophobia from a couple of techs.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's like a technophobia. That's pretty much going to wrap it for this episode. It was so fun to have you on, Kevin. I love having conversations with you on show site.
My pleasure, brother.
It's always so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, we really do have to think, folks, as things move forward in the world, like what our place is in it. What our impact is on it, you know, like not just think about it like the volcano. There's nothing you can do about some of it, but there's something you can do about some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could not move to the side of a volcano. There's an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you know it's an active volcano, you could not move to the side of it. As beautiful as the view is.
Yep.
The one on the other side is not so pretty whenever it comes around. So,
but it's a lot better view when that volcano erupts.
You know, there's and there is that moment of decision, and there, you know, you can't say that there isn't that moment of decision when you go to move on the side of a volcano. Like there's a come to Jesus family meeting that mm-hmm. has to happen, and we have to have that as a society. We're all deciding to move onto the side of a volcano right now, technologically, societally, politically,
right?
And we need to have the discussion as to whether or not we want to live on the side of a volcano before we have to call our insurance post actively and say, "Oh, by the way, am I covered for volcano insurance?"
I hope so. But probably not.
You know, I'd just like to check my coverage, and if we could do that within the next hour, that'd be great.
Please hold, sir. I'm going to transfer you to somebody.
And on that note, everybody, while you're online checking out all these crazy news stories, make sure to go by dudesandbeer.com. That is our website. You can check out all the episodes. You can check out the videos of the week. Steve-O is busy posting a whole bunch of new ones of those. Get ready for the upcoming Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football podcast in the Fantasy Football League. Make sure to check out the HC Universal Network and all of our shows. And remember, until next time, if you can't be good at it. We'll
Thanks
talk to you
for
soon.
For listening to this episode Bye-bye. Of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.